What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Inside Inter Miami, the Miami Herald's show about all things Inter Miami. I'm your host, Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor, joined by my co-host once again, Michelle Kaufman, Inter Miami beat writer. And we were both shocked and kind of like amazed. And Michelle, as you can see,
no pistolero introduction today. They did not earn it. There were no bullets. No. There was no goal.
There was nothing.
4-0.
There was nothing.
No, my hands are down.
Nothing worth doing.
My hands are down today. No pistoleros today. No.
The one good thing is you got a trip to New York out of it. Other than that, it wasn't
I got a trip to New York, but it was super cold and super wet, which, you know, it was an open air press box, by the way. I'm not saying I feel sorry for me, but it was an open air press box. It was 49 degrees at kickoff. It was pouring rain. When I say pouring, it was a driving rain.
Sideways.
49 degrees. Awful, awful conditions. Windy, horrible. Miami players looked really uncomfortable from the start. I mean, both teams obviously had to play in these conditions, and maybe the New York guys are you know, still in winter mode, whereas the Miami guys are usually down here in the sunshine. But Miami looked uncomfortable from the start. I will point out, most of them had on long sleeves. Some of them had on gloves. The three guys, if you want to know who were the ones who liked to brave the elements, was Kristoff, which does not surprise me coming from Ukraine. Sergio Busquets surprised me a little bit. Barcelona guy, he was in short sleeves. And the only other one in short sleeves was Leo Campana. I don't know if it was, you know, to show off his physique or show off his guns. Or if he really just likes the cold, wet weather. But anyway, whatever the case is, Miami looked uncomfortable from the kickoff. And 3 minutes in, boom. Lewis Morgan, of all people, scores right away. Just right away, you know, a beautiful goal right away. Just caught them off guard defensively, which we're going to talk about. The defense has been very suspect. And so, Lewis Morgan, by the way, for those of you who just started following Inter Miami when Messi arrived, there were good players here before Messi. I know you may not think so, but there were. Lewis Morgan is one of them. Lewis Morgan was a fan favorite. He's from Scotland. He's a really fast, speedy winger who also just plays with great grit and tenacity. And you could see it in this game. Obviously, when players play against their former teams, they are highly motivated. I will say, when he scored his first goal, no celebration whatsoever. You know, in respect of his former teammates, he did not celebrate that goal. That changed as the game went on, because he ended up with a hat trick. But for that first goal, he kept it really on the low key. But they were ahead right away in the opening minutes, and Miami was on its back heel right away. You know, Miami put together some nice passing sequences in the first half, but just could not get anything going. The midfield had a lot of trouble linking with the forwards. And yes, there were some players missing. Obviously, Lionel Messi was missing, which we're going to discuss the impact when you look at the big picture of when he plays and when he doesn't play. But sticking to this particular game, in addition to him missing, yes, there were six national team players that were missing. But New York also had six players missing, and five of theirs were starters. Five starters for New York were missing for national team duty. For Miami, Miami was missing Drake Callender, who's the starting goalkeeper, of course, missing Redondo in the midfield, missing Gomez in the midfield. Those two were really, really critical misses to have. Also missing Callender, we've seen the kind of impact he can have on a game. So, those three starters were very critical that were missing. David Ruiz was missing also. So, you know, there were players missing, but there were players missing on both sides. So that's really not a good excuse. The weather was horrific, but both players had to play in the same weather. It's not like there was a sunshine over and warm weather over the New York Red Bulls, you know. So both teams had the same conditions. Both teams had the same absences, number of absences. And the Red Bulls completely dominated that game. There's no question. And, afterward, Tata was very upset, and he questioned their desire. He said this team not only as a team that didn't want to win, it looked like they didn't even want to compete. And one of the moments where that was pretty glaring was toward the end of the game, before one of their last goals for New York, was that the ball was about to go out of bounds on the sideline. It was like inches from dribbling out of bounds. And, you know, the Miami guys were probably barely looking at the ball at this point, thinking, okay, that ball's going out of bounds. Lewis Morgan goes sprinting over as if his life depends on this ball staying in bounds. He goes sprinting over there, slides into the muddy, wet field, and is able to save it with the edge of his foot, saves it as he's on the ground, keeps the ball in play, passes it from the ground to his teammate, who then made a nice assist for a close range goal that Miami defense was completely unprepared for. Sort of like the final icing on the cake there. But you could see in that play how much Lewis Morgan wanted it and how much his teammates wanted it. And Miami just wasn't, Miami was not there. Miami was not as sharp, did not seem as focused and as organized as they had in the DC game when Luis Suarez came in. And, you know, when I first saw all of the players that were going to be missing, I thought, well, I wonder if he's going to start Suarez and Alba and Busquets, or maybe they're going to stay on the bench. No, all three of those guys started. Campana started. Gressel started. You know, they had plenty of players there. Kristoff started. Noah Allen, players who have started before. You know, there was no excuse. There was really no excuse for that performance.
Yeah, and that's what's disappointing, because we were here singing their praises about the depth and being able to win without Messi like they did recently, finally, and to not even come close. Because sometimes Messi's been out, like last year, and the games were at least competitive, maybe a one-goal game that you could just tell the depth wasn't there. But just a complete letdown like this, we'll see. We'll see if it happens only one time. But I guess now we're back to wondering, when is the man returning?
When
is the
Messiah?
And they went without Messi. Right. I mean, two losses in three games. What's the latest?
Two losses in three games.
When's he expected back?
Well, yeah, first of all, I mean, yes, it is clear now. We were singing last week, they went against DC, and they spoke about the players themselves. And I spoke about, you spoke about, Tata spoke about, oh, they showed that they can win without Messi. This is so very important for them to do. And la, 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 la. We said how great that they could show that they could win without Messi. But when you look at the big picture now, going back to last season when he got injured, they did not win. Seven games in a row, they did not win without him. I believe they lost three, they won three and tied four, lost four, tied three. They did not win seven games without him at the end of last season. Now this year, they are five games undefeated with Messi on the field. Five games that they've played with Messi, they are undefeated on the field. Without Messi, two losses out of the three games. So there is no question, the man, the goat, whatever, you, the golden goose, he is a huge impact on this team. But, and it's a big but, and Tata mentioned it also. Someone asked him, well, because you didn't have Messi. He said, well, we didn't have Messi last week against DC. And to be honest, this team has enough good players. If Messi had never signed with this team ever, and he was off in Barcelona or in Saudi Arabia and had chosen not to come here, and this team had Busquets, Alba, Suarez on the team, starting three guys from Barcelona coming to play on this team, everyone would still think this team is the best team in MLS. This team, you know, is going to win everything. And, you know, it is showing that even with all of the money that Inter Miami has spent, even with the pedigree of these players that have come in, there is no guarantee that this team is going to win. Well, we know, forget about guarantee. They are not going to win all their MLS games because they've already lost two out of five. So, you know, anybody who thinks that they're going to win every game, that's already been proven wrong. Anyone who thinks that they're not, you know, that they're going to be close in every game, that has also been proven wrong. You know, it takes more than just names and money to make a team and to win in this league. And this team needs to get its act together. And yes, I know they care about the Champions Cup and the Leagues Cup and all these things, Copa America coming up, but the MLS season ticket holders who bought tickets for this team, they want to see the team do well in the MLS run, in the MLS tournament, and in the MLS standings. And so right now, they were in first place. Now they're in second place behind Cincinnati, but having played one more game. So yes, they're only just behind Cincinnati, but they've also played one more game. Also in summation here, Miami has scored 13 goals, which is, you know, it leads the league. 13 goals leads the league. However, they've given up 9. Yes, 4 were the other day. But they've given up 9 goals, which is among the worst in the league. Okay, so it's the defense has been suspect. The defense has been suspect. And so now, when is Messi coming back? And we'll get back to the defense. When is Messi coming back? That is the gazillion dollar question that we ask, it seems like, every week. When is he playing? When is he playing? That's what everybody wants to know. And the answer is, let's see. Could he play this Saturday? Maybe he could play this Saturday. However, after this Saturday, next Wednesday, they have the game, the Champions Cup quarterfinal game against Monterrey, the first leg at home. Now, Tata had already said, you know, our goal is to have him back for the Champions Cup. We hope that he can be back for the Champions Cup. So if that is the goal, to have him back next Wednesday, what if he's feeling much better by this Wednesday? What if, you know, he was already jogging around a little bit last week. What if he's feeling fine this Wednesday, this Thursday, this Friday? Do they play him Saturday against NYCFC and risk that maybe he aggravates it again or not, or maybe play him a limited number of minutes? Or do they hold him out coming off this horrible loss? Do they hold him out and wait and have his return be against Champions Cup? What do you think, Andre? I mean, in your opinion, if you were Tata, what would you do? You make the call. What would you do?
I think we're going to see that whole strategy again that they've been talking about. I think we're going to see the held off, you know, unless he's a lot better, like talking 100% fit. I think we're going to see that hold off strategy again, where, again, we narrow the focus to the immediate, the urgent, and that is an aggregate two-game situation where you have to win. You have to try to win or get as many goals as possible compared to the 20-something, 30-something still, you know, months to go of the MLS season. If they have to, I still think, unfortunately, MLS fans that are going to the New York FC game are going to be disappointed because they may not see him play. They might see him in the stands if they're lucky. Maybe they pops up on the scoreboard or something. Or if you're watching on TV, you see him in his seat. But that's it. I think they're gonna put their focus on winning those two games against Monterrey, or somehow doing what needs to be done to survive in advance and continue in the Champions Cup tournament. I mean, he said it himself. I mean, I think the fact that they're putting it out there that these tournaments are going to take that kind of priority, I think it kind of tells you, unless he happens to be pretty darn close to 100% fit by Saturday. But past history, I don't think so. My hunch would be probably that we'll see him again against Monterrey.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is he hasn't played since March 13th. And so my question would be, would they want to bring him in cold against Monterrey April 3rd? You know, or do they want to give him a little taste of getting back on the field and getting into a rhythm with the teammates again and everything? Now, we know he is the best player in the world. And, you know, maybe he can just jump onto the field. We saw what he did in his first game, in his very first game in this uniform. He comes in and, you know, scores a spectacular goal. So maybe he doesn't need that kind of adjustment period that the mere mortals need. He is from another planet. But, you know, do they put him in for a little while and let him just get acclimated again? Because he has not played again. He played in that Nashville game, but he left early in that game. So he has not played in a long time in a game setting. And I know that they do want him sharp for that Monterrey game. If he's going to play Monterrey, which I know that that's what they want him to do, they're going to want him sharp. They're going to want him coming out, you know, with all guns blazing, you know, come out strong, come out sharp. Maybe he needs a few minutes against New York to do that. Yeah. On the other hand, New York is one of the weakest teams in the league right now. They are in second to last place. They only have one win. They have one win. They've only scored three goals. Miami has scored 13 goals. So they're, when you look at who they're playing and who the opponent is, and it's at home, you would think on paper, and we know that sports are not played on paper, but on paper, this Inter Miami team, even without Messi, playing at home against the second or worst team in the league, Miami should win that game. Miami would be a heavy favorite in this game, even without Messi. So if we had to take bets, we would bet that he probably will miss the New York NYCFC game. But you never know. He does love to play. He hates to miss. And, you know, maybe they do want him to play a few minutes just to get him warmed up for the Monterrey game. But that's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think at the most we have like the Suarez. Maybe they get the Suarez impact from the other day. Maybe he comes in, plays 30, 40 minutes, scores twice, saves them from another embarrassing loss if they're in a dicey situation against New York City FC. We'll see. But that's at best, I think, the most you're going to see out of him. And that's probably still a little bit on the hopeful side. I think he's gearing up for the Monterrey back-to-back series the following couple of weeks and see if they can continue to march on in that tournament. But speaking a little bit about other problems they're having, and you mentioned it earlier a little bit on defense, you know, the loss of Yedlin hurt. We've seen how suspect they've been, even in victories this year at times they have been. I mean, we realize, yes, was their backup goalie in this last game. A few guys were out. But help is on the way. It looks like Marcelo Weigand from Boca Juniors, a loan deal. What's the story with him? And is he going to be ready to jump in sooner than later?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously when you looked at the defense the other day, yes, Drake Callender, you know, CJ Dos Santos is coming in with no experience, you know, very little experience at this level in a game with, like I said, with horrible conditions. On top of that, you know, in front of him, he had, again, they keep shifting and shifting. The back line has not been consistent. And, you know, especially with all the players, they need to have consistency. But the back line relies a lot on communication. A lot on defense is about communication between the goalkeeper in the back line and between the guys on the back line and each other. And when they keep shifting and having, you know, one week no Allen's a left wing when Jordi Alba's not playing. Then when Jordi Alba does play, he's playing in the center, which he's never played in his life. He's never played center back. He's trying to learn that position. He's not very tall, so he's trying to make up for the height with different, you know, with his communication and other things, trying to figure out how to play that position. Then Robert Taylor, bless his Finnish heart, he was called into the Finnish national team. He told them no, he would rather stay back, you know, and play for Inter Miami. He got permission from them to stay back. And he does whatever the team asks, and they asked him to play right back. This is not his normal position. We're talking about a guy who's a winger, a guy who scores, who always goes forward. He played wing back. He played all the way in the back on the right side. And, you know, he did whatever he could. But again, this is a guy who has not played that position before. Noah Allen has not played center back before. So, you know, it's been kind of a mishmash in the back. And it shows. There were moments that they were just vulnerable. And so, yes, they are signing or have already signed, as far as I can tell. Marcelo Weigand from Boca Juniors from Argentina, yet another Argentine player. Again, they're going to have to change the uniform any day now. Forget the pink and black. It's going to be albiceleste. It's going to be light blue and white stripes going down. Vertical stripes, light blue and white, the way this is going. But Marcelo Weigand is a right back, a true right back, which is what they need to replace Yedlin. You know, the defense, to be honest, I really thought the loss of Kamal Miller was a big loss as a center back. He was a leader. He's a guy from the Canadian national team. You know, they lost him. He went to Portland. And then now losing Yedlin, those last couple games since Yedlin left, you see that they really need somebody at that position. You can't just plug in. It's not that easy. It's not like a Lego set where you just take, you know, a red cube and put it where the blue cube was. You know, that's not how it is. Every player trains for that position, is natural at certain positions. There are some guys who are more versatile than others, but they really have not found a true answer for right back. So they're bringing in this guy on a loan. What happens is Boca Juniors signed him from what I read from all the Argentine media and from what they said on Argentine ESPN, and they've been all over this story, is that he signed through the year 2027 with Boca Juniors and then is able to be loaned. So he's going to be come to Miami on a loan for this season until December 2024. Supposedly, if he plays a minimum of 10 games, he could then be loaned again for next season. And then there's some kind of a deal where if he ends up being purchased in the future by some big money team in Europe, I believe what the Argentine media is reporting is that Boca would get 70% of the sale and Inter Miami would get 30% of the sale. So they've worked out some kind of deal to get him here on a loan. I believe that he's already here. I saw some video of him at the airport in Argentina, so unless he was going on vacation. But they interviewed him, and he said that he's very excited to come to Inter Miami, and that he thanked Tata Martino, and that it's been a dream of his to play with Messi. So it certainly looks like he is coming here any day. This signing will be announced any day. And you know, as soon as he gets his visa, that's always the question. How long will it take him to get his visa in order for him to be able to play? Will he be able to play this Saturday? I don't know. I'm sure that they would love for him to be able to play next week against Monterrey. Again, once again, all the arrows are sort of pointing to that game, even though they want to... I know that this team does not want to come off that 4-0 debacle in New York and lose to the other New York team, which is a poor team at the moment. You know, at least losing to New York Red Bulls, that's a team that was in the top third of the league. Lewis Morgan is a great player. He had a hat trick. The conditions were horrible. They don't want to come back and lose at home to one of the weaker teams in the entire league. That would really affect morale on the team going into that game against Monterrey. And believe me, the fans, they will boo. They're not going to be happy if Messi doesn't play. And if they play badly and lose to one of the worst teams, it will be ugly.
Yeah, it's just not a good look if that happens. You want it for momentum. I mean, your coach just ripped into you with good reason after such a bad performance. You don't want that to spill over. You don't want something like this to fester on a team like this with so many high expectations. And then it defeats the whole grand plan of how they want to draw people to like this team, to follow this team, not just because of Lionel Messi. And like you mentioned a couple episodes ago, I think it was, the growing little pockets that are growing of people who are caring more and more because it's Inter Miami, not solely because it's Messi. Of course, Messi's the big reason, but you do want to develop and you do want to continue. But moments like these, if this carries over and starts becoming a problem, that can really hinder those efforts. So for a lot of reasons, they need this win. Any threat at all?
It's not good. Yeah. No, they also need to show that they are a unified team. You know, there are some skeptics out there who think that maybe, you know, is this really a team? Is this really a team? Because sometimes you will see Messi, Busquets, Alba, and Suarez training, the four of them doing a little side training, you know, apart from the rest of the team and things like that. Now, Tata's been asked about it. He says, oh, no, you know, this is normal. That's only the part that you guys see in the media. They like to do some extra training together. But, you know, once the official training starts, everybody's together and everybody's unified and all these things. And that may all be true because we don't have a chance to see the full training. We only get to watch the first 15 minutes. So I don't know what happens in the other hour and a half or however long they're training after they close the door and shut us out. But you know, you have Lionel Messi on the team. You have three of his former teammates. They have a lot of chemistry between the four of them. And then there's everybody else. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the lead singer and then the backup singers. You know, you've got to show as a team that even the guys who are new young guys who came up through the academy are totally in sync with these superstars that came from FC Barcelona. And that is something, you know, that the fact that they look disjointed at times, or if you see a guy, you know, one of the guys who's really skillful will try to make a pass to another player and the other player doesn't receive it. And you can see a little bit of the frustration, like, ugh, you know, or one of the guys who's less skillful tries to make a pass to one of the Barcelona guys and maybe it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. And you maybe see some frustration. So, you know, it's, they've got to gel as a team and they've had so many new players, 19 changes or so, you know, from last year to this year. I mean, it's a completely new squad. When you look at the roster compared to last year, almost all the players from the beginning of last season, when Phil Neville was the coach, it seems 100 years ago, that team, almost all of those guys are gone. There are very few players left from that team. It's a whole new team. And they still, you know, they had that run during the Leagues Cup last summer, and it was this magical run, and everyone thought this is incredible. They're going to win every game. Oh, my God, this is amazing. They've shown now over weeks, over months, that it's not that easy. And the other thing that I will say is that the rest of the league, the nostalgia, the novelty is wearing off a little bit. I meant to say novelty. The novelty has worn off a tiny bit about Messi is here, OMG. You know, yes, everybody still respects him. Yes, he's the greatest player. However, all of these teams they're playing now have already played them before. This is not the first time that they're going to be on the field with Busquets and Alba and Suarez and Messi. Maybe Suarez because he's new. But these guys on all these other teams in MLS, they have now played against Inter Miami post-Messi. And maybe they're not as scared. And, you know, I noticed that even New York Red Bulls, well, Lewis Morgan certainly was not scared. His teammates were not scared. And their club, after the game, it was kind of funny, to be honest, but it was definitely a dig. They mocked Inter Miami because Inter Miami, the last couple of games, they take a little bit long to come out for the second half. Some people have noted. And I would understand in this last game because you would not want to be outside in those conditions, spoken as from somebody who was outside. So they stayed inside as long as possible and they came out just before the whistle the second half. But New York Red Bulls on their social media after the game, they put a caption that said, still waiting for Inter Miami to come out for the second half.
Ouch.
So, yeah, ouch, ouch, and ouch, okay? So, in other words, the other teams around the league, there's a target, a black and pink target on the back of this team's jerseys, and all of the other teams want to beat them. And now, as more teams do beat them, other teams will believe they can. When they first came into this league with Messi last summer and they just rolled through everybody and they beat Philadelphia and they beat Cincinnati and they beat everybody and, you know, Nashville, they looked like a team that was unbeatable and they're going to, you know, make a run to the MLS playoffs. Once they didn't do that and the other teams showed that they can be beat and are developing tactics to, you know, some of these coaches are very good coaches and they're going to figure out ways. They're going to figure out what are the weaknesses. Where are the weak spots of this team? And they're going to start attacking those. And if they don't shore up those weaknesses, which we see where they are right now, for sure in the back line, right back, these things we've been talking about, not having Gomez and Redondo, even though they're both young players, they're the ones who are doing most of the running in the midfield. It's not Busquets. Busquets is not going to be running around like a track star in the middle of the field. Those guys are the ones playing along with Busquets that will allow Busquets to do what he does by doing the energy work, by being the energizer bunnies in the middle of the field. So they need to shore up these weak spots. The other teams are not as scared of them anymore. The other teams are saying, oh, okay, Inter Miami with Messi, you know, scary. Without Messi, maybe not as scary. We can maybe handle these guys. So it's going to be a real challenge. This is not by any means going to be a cakewalk to the end of the season. We've already seen they already have two losses in five games. It's not going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, this is not going to be on autopilot. These coaches are going to have to coach. They're going to have to strategize. They're going to have to counter and adjust the same way they're being adjusted to right now, like you're saying. And if you want to see Inter Miami potentially show up, May 4th is the rematch with those Red Bulls in Fort Lauderdale. So they'll get another crack at them. We'll see if they come out of the tunnel for real this time and really show up. But we'll see. That's a long way to go before that one. But for the immediate future, it's New York City FC this Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff at Chase Stadium. And looking forward to that one. And like you said, Santiago Rodriguez is the one player, I guess, if you have one player that could kind of be the obvious threat to maybe disrupt something. He's got two of those three goals so far for New York City FC. So a guy you have to account for. But like you said, I mean, this is definitely a golden opportunity, regardless of what the starting 11 looks like, to grab 3 points that now become a little more necessary after what happened the other day.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't want to drop. Like we said, they don't want to, you know, the momentum that they had built a little bit, they don't want to lose all that with back-to-back losses going into the Monterrey game. You don't want them to be questioning themselves. You know, Tata doesn't want this team to be losing confidence in the two games. You know, they did for sure. This game the other day was had to rock them a little bit. And now they're going into the other New York game. They don't want to lose this one too and go into this Champions Cup that they care so much about, doubting themselves, wondering, you know, what's happening, and also just putting all of the pressure on Messi. Like, okay, well, now Messi's here against Monterrey. We're going to win because Messi's here. You know, they really need to get their act together. Everybody who's not Messi on that team needs to, you know, lift their level, start to play better as a team. And again, the guys that were missing were critical players that were missing. However, the Red Bulls were missing some of their most critical players who play for national teams, including their starting goalkeeper as well. So, you know, both teams were missing their starting goalkeeper. Both teams were missing critical players for their national teams. So there was really no excuse. The weather may be a tiny excuse. New York is a little more used to playing in those conditions in Miami, but not a big enough excuse to make up for 4-goal differential. So yeah, it's going to be real interesting. And I am sure that NYCFC has been watching very carefully how Lewis Morgan and his teammates were able to exploit the Miami defense, and they will attack those very same spots this weekend.
I'm sorry, but as miserable as it was, I guarantee you a lot of those guys have been through that kind of stuff before. They've played in international games where there's been monsoons and cold weather and whatnot. You got to be ready for it. That's why you get paid the ginormously big bucks like a lot of them do. And, you know, so you hope this is a blip. You hope, like they said in Ted Lasso, this they're goldfish now. They forget. They keep going. But we'll see. We'll see how they come out against this team because, yeah, Monterrey, no joke after that. In a tight setting, that aggregate is no joke too. Remember how it was against Nashville? Every goal counts. Every goal is huge in that format. But we'll have another episode
in Mexico,
before that.
And playing in Mexico, I mean.
Oh, in the second half for sure. You know, yeah.
Yeah, playing, you know, yes, playing in New York Red Bull Arena in the rain. But playing in Mexico and the fans there, we've seen what the fans can do there.
The fans, the elevation, everything. Yeah.
It's going to be a huge, huge challenge. Some of the guys on this team have not experienced those kind of situations. So it's going to be a huge challenge for them. They're going to need all of their players to have any chance over there. And but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, do they, you know, is this sort of a trap game? Is this a trap game where they're already looking ahead to Monterrey? They're already thinking, okay, Messi will come back in Monterrey and this in Monterrey and that in Monterrey. And in the meantime, New York City comes in here and is like, hey, here we are, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? Yeah. They're going to be fired up. Yeah.
They come in nothing to lose. They're down in the doldrums right now. They need a win. What better way to do it than knock off, you know, the big shot team that everybody wants to beat in MLS right now? But we'll see if Inter Miami can counterpunch and get those valuable 3 points. And of course, we'll have another episode next week of Inside Inter Miami right before that Monterrey back-to-back series starts. So Michelle and I will dive headfirst into that game, you know, break down the matchup for you and recap whatever happens this weekend against New York City FC. But until then, for Michelle Kaufman, I'm Andre Fernandez. Remember to catch us on YouTube here at MiamiHerald.com. And if you're listening to us, Apple, Spotify, you name it, hopefully those will be coming off good Pitolero gun dances going if Suarez can get going or anybody on Inter Miami can get going. But until then, thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.